Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball. Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you've got to love your rugby league.
Triple M, Sunday Sinbin.
Well, welcome back to it. Gordon Tallis in the Gordon Tallis studio in Brisbane. Paul Kent from NRL 360. James Triceps Hooper and Maroon here. Another big hour coming up on the show. We'll talk about the Panthers' big win over the Raiders and ask the boys, are the Panthers the benchmark in the moment? Look at other matters around rugby league. Right now, let's get on a bloke that's having a great start to the year. The Gold Coast Titans coach, Justin Holbrook. Welcome to the Sunday Sinbin.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, that's okay, mate. We're massive supporters here at the Gold Coast Titans. Congratulations on your win yesterday.
Mate, I'm still worried. Is that, you know, that bet that you had last year, has that actually happened?
No, mate, that's all. This is just, that's just bullying, mate. There's bullying.
No, mate, you can't.
I never said that, Justin. I never said that.
That your body won't cash Anthony.
Justin, I'm coming up there to meet up with Tom Tate to put all this nonsense to bed. You're invited to that meeting as well. Now, I'll hand you over to the boys. What's that, mate?
I'll look forward to it. Sounds good.
Okay, well, I'll hand you over to the boys, but congratulations, mate. David Feeder yesterday, a hat-trick of tries.
Yeah, no, thanks, sir. Yeah, obviously it was great. Dave was terrific, and obviously when we had a win like that, everybody plays well, so it was good.
Just take us through the continual build-up, Justin, of the Titans. We saw it begin last year. I think we've said before in this program that you could, like halfway through the season, you could see what you were trying to do at the club, and you could see that they were starting to have some benefits there, even though the results coming your way were probably a little bit slower. But we're really starting to see that now, and you're really starting to announce yourself as a top eight team, aren't you?
Oh, we're trying to, Kenny, yeah. You know, I know all you blokes know, you know, it's a long season. We've only played five games. But, yeah, we're trying to, you know, that's where all 16 teams want to be. They want to be in the top eight. And you know, I think now we know as a club and as a team that, you know, that's a realistic chance for us this year. And there's some good self-belief in the side, and that's helping to play like we did yesterday. Although, you know, we were disappointed with how we played the week before against Canberra. So it was important that we sort of bounced back yesterday.
We saw David Fifita play outstanding yesterday. Justin scored the first hat-trick of his career. But after round one, there was a little bit of criticism about his performance and about how he'd been used. Did you tweak much to how you wanted that edge to play in the aftermath of that performance?
Unfortunately, round one for Dave and our side was just a disaster leading into it. Like, you have a long pre-season and then he gets an infection, and he spent 2 nights and 3 days on a drip in hospital and got out the morning of captain's run and said he was fine. And then we travel up the Central Coast and, you know, we played in 30-something degree heat and the Warriors, you know, played really well that day. So it was a really tough first game for Dave because he couldn't do much. He couldn't get involved. And then we got behind on the scoreboard. So I had to leave him out there because I know what he's capable of doing. But in hindsight, you know, I either should have brought him off the bench or not played him at all. But so that round one was a bit of a, you know, I guess he gets a criticism because everyone was waiting to see how he played. But if everyone had sort of known what happened during the week, they mightn't have been so hard on him. But I think after that, then obviously he bounced back with a, you know, really good performance against the Broncos. And then he's been good every week, I think, and then got sort of disjointed a bit last week when we had some injuries and he had to get pushed out to the centre, so he got limited opportunity. But it all sort of obviously come together yesterday for a few sort of big moments, I guess, for him.
Gee, you must be happy with your recruitment, though, in terms of picking up David Fifita and then, of course, Tino Fasua-Malawi has, again, taken his game to another level this season. You add them into the forward pack that you were already assembling and things are starting to hum nicely, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, well, you know, as Kenny said at the start, I think that what helped the way we finished the season and then to bring those couple of guys in, and obviously, I think, you know, Paddy Herbert's doing a good job for us in the outside back. So to add those quality guys into our side is obviously, you know, needed to make us stronger, and it has. And now that gives us, as I said, a sort of realistic chance, of pushing for the eight.
Hey, Justin, I'm with the new rules, the 18th man. It would have been nice to use it yesterday when Philip Sami got knocked out, but obviously the rules, he has to be, what, I think, put on or sent off or sin-binned, is it, for the 18th man to be used?
Yeah, that's right, Gordy. So it does make it difficult, and I sort of said yesterday, I think it puts pressure on referees that we don't want to put on them. You know, there definitely wasn't a sin-bin or a send-off offence, but I just, in my opinion, and, you know, I'm not making the rules, but I said, when I come back from England, we discussed about the 18th man as coaches. I said, look, why don't you put a time frame on it, like 20 or 30 minutes into a game, if someone, you know, goes off and can't return, that you can use your 18th man? Because I think the rules have come in, and I've heard a few people say, oh, the coaches will try and manipulate it, but no one wants to lose a winger in the 6 minute of a game. You don't plan on that. But, you know, you could possibly plan on a front row getting their knock in the 60th minute if you meant getting a fresh bloke come on. So I think we've got to look at it because, as you said, Gordy, like, you know, we lose a winger in the 6 minute of a game, and then you're shuffling everyone. Then I had Kevin Proctor out in the centres for a while, Tyrone Peachey for a stint, and everyone's out of whack. And it does make it hard, but, you know, we've been playing that way for a long time, so we've got to get on with it.
The one thing about having a time limit, though, Justin, and I reckon you could pretty much guarantee this, is that, say, if, for example, you did have a 20-minute time limit, that if you lost someone to a concussion in that period, you could almost guarantee that come 19 minutes, someone's going to have a bloke go out, a gangbusters playing in the middle for 19 minutes, and then say, right, mate, now's your time, you've got to get off, the alarm's just gone, we'll get you off and we'll get another bloke on, and then you get a free interchange after 20 minutes.
Yeah, and that's the hard part, Kenny. That's right, and that's why it's never going to be easy to bring in. But, I mean, you could make sure that the hit is being put on report and things like that. But it does get to, like you're saying. So, look, that's why I'm okay with it. I think the idea is right, or maybe even make it an outside back, or try and limit it to that, because everybody's got forwards on the interchange bench. But and then you go, okay, I'll carry an outside back, and then you don't use him, and then you start questioning, geez, why do I carry one? So it's a juggling act. Look, I don't know what the answer is. Look, we obviously dealt with it all right yesterday, which was the main thing. So at least as a game we're looking at it, I don't know what the right answer is.
What about this for an old fashioned idea? You actually start using replacements for replacements rather than tactical purposes. So if you have an injury, you've got four guys there that you can rotate through eight times, but you don't use it for tactical purposes. Like, do you think the game will ever sort of get back to that, given we are seeing so many concussion replacements at the moment?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, I'm a massive fan of the way it used to be when, you know, the guys played reserve grade, and then you sat on the bench and they called up four blokes because they had a good day. And like you're saying, then, you know, you can only use four in total, but you might have six or seven there, and one's a halfback and one's an outside back, and your other three you're definitely going to use as forwards or something like that, I think, is great. But then, you face the battle of they've got to play, you know, Queensland or New South Wales Cup, and it could be in a different ground, and then you don't want to be, you know. So, but, yeah, even if that you know, you could sit five, because the 18th man's there, so why not sit five, but you can only use four? I think that's, mate, you've come up with something there. I think that's a great rule.
The Kenty rule, we call that.
Yeah. Bring it in, because that can be that extra outside back position that no one really wants to carry. That could be, you know, a good rule.
What about the season, the way it is panning out? We're getting a lot of talk about haves and have-nots, and one of the complaints that you hear from people is about how difficult it is, if you're at the bottom of the ladder, to be able to try and get in the contest and move your way up the ladder over time. But you've shown I think the Titans are a real example for other teams about going back, finding your basic footy, get the fundamentals right, and then just recruit intelligently.
Yeah, well, I think that's the question and the answer. Yeah, I think you're right there. For us, well, you know, you knew where we sat as a club, and it was up to us to work our way up and then encourage people to come and join us. And the only way you're going to get good players to come and join you if they can see an improvement in the way you play. And we just had to get the current squad to, you know, you've got to know what's wrong and then know how to fix it. And then you've got to see improvements for the players to believe in it. And then once all that happens, you can, you know, get on a bit of a roll, and then you get a couple of new recruits coming to the club, and that all, you know, can snowball in a good way. So you just got to make sure that you've got the answers to whatever problems you're in, I think, as a club. And then if you do, then you, you're up and running.
Well, you said that. You said you got to know what's wrong and know how to fix it. What was wrong at the Titans that you had to fix?
Oh, there were a lot of things, but, you know, without any details, it was just narrowing the focus back to the rugby league being the most important thing in you know, the players and staff's, life, so to speak. You know, everyone loves their families, but it was just about making rugby league the most important thing and the nice place to live coming in the clear second and all things snowballing off that. So just making the right choices around what's the best thing to be doing to, you know, play your best footy, those type of things. And then just rewarding, you know, people repeat what they're rewarded for, just rewarding good behaviours and good efforts on the field. And then having a group that wanted to change as well is what you need in the playing group. You know, they've been sort of kicked around up the Gold Coast for a couple of years, so they wanted to change as well. So it's a, you know, combination of a lot of things, but it's not sort of one clear, you know, thing you had to change. It was a number of things, and I think we slowly made it happen.
Speaking of rewarding efforts on the field, can I ask you, Justin, for your view on a player who doesn't get a lot of raps? He's relatively unsung, but geez, he goes out there every week, and we all talk about Tino, and it's easy to rap David Fifita and AJ Brimson, but Corey Thompson goes out and plays his heart out for your club every week.
Yeah, he's just exactly what you see, you know. He's just got that much energy and effort and just competes for everything, and he's just such a, you know, a pleasure to coach, you know. I just sort of thank him for being who he is, you know, without doing anything else. He's just a great example for anyone playing the game that just get in and have an absolute crack, and, you know, there's a spot in the team there for you. So and he forced his way into our starting side for round one just purely by doing that all the time at training. And then as a coach, you love that type of stuff. And then you love seeing him, you know, get rewarded by doing some good things on the field because you know how hard those guys work. So it's a good mix.
All right, mate. Well, look, we wish you all the best in the coming weeks. I'll let you know when I get up there, and I'm going to catch up with Tommy Tate. We're going to have lunch at George's Seafood there at Broadbeach, mate, but you're more than welcome to join us.
Oh, it'd be great. As long as you're happy to clear up what did or didn't happen.
Well, it didn't. Hey, Justin, just on that, he has been picking a fight with the Gold Coast mayor. He's challenged him to getting the ring together. Who do you think he'd win there?
Well, I don't think we can believe him anymore because he's making, you know, one bet at a time, isn't it? One bet at a time.
Well, as long as I actually make the bet myself, Justin, I don't mind. But, mate, as I say, we wish you all the best in the coming weeks, mate, and thanks for taking the time today.
Okay, thanks for having us.
Good on you, mate. Justin Holbrook, the coach of the Gold Coast Titans, joining us.
He's a wake-up to you.
They all listen to his thing.
Yeah. I mean, he's a lovely bloke. I just didn't want to point out while he was on the phone, though, but, I mean, I just have to...
Look at you. You're just too good.
No, I'm not going to give him the shiv, but I'm just saying, like, Gordy, you're involved with the Titans. What about the draw? They started off with the Warriors. In the Fair Dinkum department.
Oh, here we go. Mate, let's go.
Up
till round 10, you've had the Warriors. Yep. Then you've had the Broncos. Then the Cowboys. Yep. Then you had a hard game in the Raiders. Then you got the Knights with a dozen injured players.
Well, then we got Manly.
Manly. Then South. You get the Broncos again and the Tigers.
South, then Broncos and I don't know who after that. Probably the Tigers.
I mean, who wrote this draw? Tom Tate wrote the
NRL.
Well, mate, you need to speak to someone at the NRL because this draw favours the Gold Coast Titans.
Off the phone. Yeah, he's no longer here to defend himself. Mm-hmm. And now you want to put the slipper
in. You know, it's like vital, it seems vital. We've got to have a team on the Gold Coast. We've had that many cracks at it. And they finally got a good team with, as I've said, a sweet run at the draw. But yesterday...
What do you mean?
Beautiful.
We will play the same amount of teams as South.
Beautiful.
And we'll...
Okay, all right, I'm just making...
And at the end of the year, we'll play Penrith and Storm and the Raiders again and Parramatta, and we'll play them all in a row, and we'll have a tough 6 or 8 weeks and see where we're at.
Just an observation I was making, Gordon, that's all.
But we play South in 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, South...
So that's going to be interesting.
Oh, absolutely, it'll be interesting because
Reynolds tries to tackle Dave Fifita.
Yeah, South will lap them. Don't worry about David Fifita, all right? Souths will lap them.
Hey, who tackles better, Frizzell? Well, little Adam Reynolds, and he got douched up yesterday too. So just relaxed, yeah, Anthony.
Okay. It's not really apples for apples, though.
No, that's right.
No, it's not. But I tell you what, he's on the same footy field. That's a good thing about rugby league. Yeah.
Well, I just think it's handy that they get the Broncos twice in the first 10 rounds, and they get the Knights. I mean, you know, anyway, we'll leave it there.
They knew the Knights were going to get injured,
well,
did they?
I mean, you know, it's a... No,
Anthony,
they didn't know the Knights...
Can I give you some advice?
No, listen.
Let it go.
Don't you give
let
me some advice,
go,
mate, because
please.
You are in no position to
you've
give anyone
to, you've got
advice.
So, South have played, what, the Bulldogs last week and Broncos this
South
week?
South have played the Roosters, flogged them.
Oh, and Bulldogs and Broncos.
No, hang on. I didn't
and
Manly. Go through... I'm only trying to make an observation, mate, all right?
And the only time,
South have
and
also
you played
Storm Melbourne.
And they beat you.
South have also so, played yeah. Melbourne, right? Anyway, I was just making an observation.
Yeah, and they beat you.
The other observation I wanted to make, you know, they all had to have a team so bad, the Gold Coast. Beautiful 30-degree day yesterday, and there's only 12,000 people there. But if that keeps you happy, let's take a break and we'll come back with more as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Well, welcome back. About 90 minutes away, the game this afternoon. Cowboys-Tigers sell out at Leichhardt Oval. Of course, no Jason Taumalolo or Maguire for the Cowboys side, and they are facing 0-5. We'll keep an eye on that. Dan will call that game for you this afternoon. Another team off to a terrible start, boys, is the poor old Bulldogs, who went down again last night. But I suppose, thankfully, to look on the bright side, they got across the stripe and scored 3 tries in all, and... they look promising and competitive in parts, I thought, Paul.
I agree with you. I thought there were parts there where if you're obviously Trent Barrett, the coach, you'd be happy with what you saw. I really like Jake Avrilo at 5'8". I thought he really stepped up last night. And I think that the future of the Bulldogs might be just starting to wrest a little bit of the control away from Kyle Flanagan towards Avrilo, because his kicking game was dangerous. Flanagan's got this habit of just putting these little buttercup kicks up that really don't do much. They don't get high enough to get his team time to get under them. They're not in a position that's going to challenge the kick receiver. And they just seem to be kicked for a kick's sake. Whereas Avrilo, he put up a couple last night that were pretty deadly. We saw Pappenhausen spill one over the sideline because it was so perfectly placed. You could see Pappenhausen wasn't quite sure where the try line was, where the sideline was, so he didn't want to take another step, and he stuck his hands out and put himself in bad position to catch the ball, which resulted in him dropping the ball, and because it was just such a great kick. And that Luke Thompson came back. He gave him a little bit of starts through the middle. So there were some positive signs there for the Bulldogs. I would like to have seen how they might have fared if it wasn't Melbourne they were playing, if it was, say, middle of the table ladder rather than one of the contenders, because the chance they could have snatched a victory last night given their performance.
Thompson gave him some great punch and energy when he did enter the field, and it was a shame. It sums up where the Bulldogs are at the moment. I think it's his hamstring right at the very end of the game. He come up grabbing at the back of one of his legs, so fingers crossed he's not out for too long. But, yeah, look, given they hadn't scored a point for 245 minutes previously, at least they were able to generate a little bit of something. And against the Melbourne Storm, you know, it's not easy to score 18 points.
And, boys, Luke Thompson, we finally get – I mean, we'd love to see blokes like Luke Thompson, obviously Joey Stimson, some blokes that are in that system that for one reason or another didn't play last year. They have got some good talent, and they've got injury concerns of their own.
Yeah, Luke Thompson has had a frustrating stay so far since he's been out here in Australia. Obviously, COVID hit last year. That presented its own unique set of challenges, and then he got suspended, and now it looks as though he's done his hammy as well. So it's a shame for him, but the Dogs, they'll have to regroup quickly because they're 0-5 and it's on again next week.
Yeah, what about Melbourne? I mean, the start of the game there, though, I think they were up 18 in about 18 minutes. So are we thinking... with due respect to the Doggies, they didn't push them early. Do we think Melbourne Storm are the benchmark?
I think Penrith are the
Penrith,
benchmark.
Penrith are, but Melbourne are going to be in the contest. Melbourne are one of those sides this year, I think, that they're still finding their personality a little bit without the Cameron Smith there. Harry Grant, Brandon Smith are now going to be jostling for position. Craig Bellamy's going to work that out between here and the end of the season. And how they get around, we've seen a couple of times earlier this year in games where Bellamy has spoken about the fact that they weren't able to basically close out games like they've been able to do for year after year after year because Cameron Smith was so good at it. So there's a little bit of that that they've got to learn and educate themselves on, and somebody's got to step up at some point and say, well, I'll be the guy and put it on me to do that. But they'll get there. You know they'll get there. And they'll get there in time for finals time. So I think that's all they care about. If they can make sure they finish top four, which will be the goal. I don't think minor premiers and all that, while it'd be nice, I don't think that's a priority. I think it's just get top four, be playing good footy once we get to the finals.
With the greatest of respect to the Bulldogs, Melbourne were only playing in second and third gear last night. And to your point, Kenty, about the inclusion of Harry Grant last night and the fact that, so far Craig has been a little bit critical of them not being able to close out games, which they would have always iced had Cameron Smith been there. I think the more football that he gets out on the field, the better they're going to look in that sense.
Mm. And just closing off on this one, the Doggies obviously... Matt Burton is heading to the Dogs next year, as is Josh Adokar.
Yes.
That is a start of the recruitment. Do they still need some experience around key position hoops? The nine comes to mind.
Burton will make a big difference. 100% they're in the market for a hooker. I think they've had their eye on Brandon Smith, as a lot of clubs have, the Gold Coast included. For quite some time now, whether or not they can figure out the right terms. Melbourne are adamant that they still want to have a like-for-like swap if they are going to release Brandon Smith for next season.
Which would be hard to get. Like, how do you get a like-for-like for the cheese,
Well, I know
the
they
league's
pitched
club.
Up...
Give them the league's club.
No, they pitched up when they were trying to... The Gold Coast expressed their interest. Melbourne said, we'd be happily take Tino Fasua Malawi or Mo Fotowaka. To which they said, yeah, thanks, but...
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is... There's no doubt. It's going to be a challenge. But, yeah, we'll wait and see how it unfolds.
You always do hear this rumour in this... situation. So I am not trying to put fuel on the fire, but obviously with the form of Burton and the Panthers, we are hearing that he's got cold feet. Are you hearing anything?
Is that another gem you've just dropped from Maroon Confidential?
Should have hung on to that, shouldn't I?
You're striking them all off.
I know.
You went and did all this groundwork, all this homework earlier in the day and over the course of the last week.
Yep.
And now you're just throwing them all out there.
I was even going to say...
You've got a card left.
I was even going to say... Has Burton got his feet in a bucket of ream hot water because he's got cold feet? Is he going to the Dogs next year?
Well, he signed a contract and it's been registered with the NRL. Mm. So it would be very difficult. He was obviously fantastic for the Panthers.
He can't get out of it. Look, he can't get out of it. And I'll say one thing. There's no way the Bulldogs would have an attitude to release him from us to save Penrith, given what's happened.
Yeah, given the arm wrestle that's gone on over his services this year. Like they genuinely believed that at some point in the negotiation, Penrith would probably succumb and would ultimately release Matty Burton. We saw the Panthers do a swap with Dane Laurie and Paul Momorowski. They weren't able to get it done with Burton, and that's a big part of their attack for this season, the Dogs, of why it has been... It has been such a struggle.
And, I mean, no one ever gets out of an NRL contract, do they, boys?
I know, Anthony, I know.
Yeah, this one's got a little bit of spice, though, to it. Because of Penrith's refusal to let him go this year, and Burton would only be going because he's enjoyed this year so much he wants to stay. That I don't see Canterbury entertaining that much at all, to be honest.
Prior to the Dylan Edwards injury, when Dylan Edwards got injured playing fullback, he couldn't crack the... starting 17. So it's only because of injury and they've shifted Stephen Crichton to fullback and he gets an opportunity at left centre.
And Edwards will be coming back at some point.
Yes.
All right. So boys, really, that's a bit of a strikeout for Maroon Confidential, isn't it?
Well, I was just testing. Mate, I didn't want to put it under the banner of Maroon Confidential.
Well, that's not what you're saying off air. Off air you're declaring.
We're going to take a break and come back with more as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to Triple M underscore NRL. I've got some tweets and whatnot coming in here. We've got Kenty, we've got Triceps Hooper, we've got Gordon Tallis and Maroon at Triple M underscore NRL. Coxie is in ropes crossing. Hey guys, love you, listen every week. Maroon, you are an absolute hashtag legend. I've got an idea for a competition, he says. I've got an idea for a competition because, just to paraphrase what he's saying, because you guys can't beat Kenty at our trivia game.
Your trivia.
Yeah. Could we do a thing called Stump the Grump where a listener calls up and goes head-to-head against Kenty? Could we do that?
Great idea. Great idea.
Huh? You really like that idea? Stump the Grump. Paul, are you up for that?
Yeah, I'm up for anything.
All right.
Who's the grump, though? You're saying I'm the grump.
Well, I'm not saying it. I'm made from ropes crossing saying you're the grump. Stump the Grump. Live on air next week on the station with more competitions. Triple M. Now, talking about football, Penrith and Canberra Friday night, and Penrith just way too good, running out eventual winners by 30 points to 10. Where do we think this leaves Canberra to start with, Paul?
Licking their wounds. Yeah, I think that they thought they probably would have fared a bit better than 30 to 10 over the weekend. In some ways, I think this was going to be a game where Canberra, given the way that Panthers have started the season, as Gordon said before, they're the benchmark. So I think Canberra went in this game thinking we'll get a pretty good idea of where we're at, and 30 to 10 is probably not where they thought they were at. Mm. So they got a bit of work ahead. It gives them something to work towards now, but I think they went away very disappointed.
I will say I think the injuries were a big factor. They started great. Jack Whiten scores early, and then Jared Croker in a try that he would normally score 99 times out of 100 didn't end up grounding the ball correctly. That would have meant that the Raiders were kicking for a 12-0 early lead. Then Charles Nicol-Klokstad is forced off, and as a result of that, they have to do the big reshuffle. Croker ends up on the wing. Jordan Ruppner goes to fullback. There were stages of the game where Ruppner was down on his haunches and looked as though the fact that he was having to cover so many Ks and in an unfamiliar position that he hasn't played for a little while, I think that presented its own set of challenges. But take nothing away, like Penrith, they're the bench. You asked earlier who's the benchmark side. Well, from what we've seen over the opening five rounds of the competition, the Panthers are the benchmark. Mm. They are flying.
Yeah.
And you think, right, this is the reason that really underlines it. They're doing it without Appy Corrissau, who was the buy of the year for most people last season, and without Dylan Edwards, who was their grand final fullback. They get two injuries there. They go, boom, Mitch Kenny into nine, move Stephen Crichton from the centres. Matt Burton slips in on the left edge, and away they go.
Have they just got so much depth, Gordy, haven't they? I mean, congratulations to the people that recruit. A lot of these players obviously are juniors, or they come through the system, or they come from out places like Dubbo and Lithgow, which is at the doorstep of the foot of the mountains there. But they got so much razzle-dazzle to
Dubbo.
The Panthers.
Hang on. Well, I hate to break it to you. Dubbo ain't at the foot of the
mountains. No, well, hang on a second, mate.
You wouldn't want to leave Penrith to go.
Lithgow, yes.
Right, okay. Yeah, listen, mate, if we need an Uber driver in here, if we need someone to tell us where everything is, okay? If we need someone to correct us, we'll get Wendell, okay?
You wouldn't want to leave Penrith there to get a bottle of milk at Dubbo.
No, you wouldn't. But, I mean, it's better than if you're going from Bondi, let's put it that way.
Could this be part of Stump the Grump?
This could be. If you left Bondi in a small aircraft, in a Catalina off Rose Bay, or you drove from Penrith, who would get to Dubbo first?
Mm. Good,
you go home question. And work that out, won't you?
Mate, I tell you now, Catalina, you'd rather be in a plane.
Anyway, Gordon, I'm sorry to get interrupted. What did you want to say?
No, I just think Penrith are the most natural footy side. I think if you took away the coaches and there was a game of touch footy, they're just naturally, they're faster. They got great footwork. You know, if you look at someone like Kikau, he's changed like such a big guy on the edge, working really hard. Their kicking game, like they just do everything so well, don't they? And they look like that they're enjoying themselves. They're getting close to being cocky, not confident. You know how, like when they got in the Tarpany on the side of the, when they score the try and he's waiting there as a reserve. That's probably the only thing that they've got to keep a lid on, because you don't want to give your opposition too much ammunition.
I was a bit confused by that incident. Are they mates? Because it looked as though Stephen Crichton was sort of trying to. Yeah, it looked as though they must have had some sort of connection. They must have known one another. It didn't look aggressive, you know.
It looked to me like that, such as their enthusiasm and the way they're enjoying the game, that giving it to the opposition is a part of that. and that's what they did. But I think they got the tone wrong. I don't think it looked as friendly and innocent as what they probably thought it was in their own heads.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, the rails will walk away and they'll have that written down somewhere. That'll be committed to memory, that.
That and the local fans doing the Viking clap towards the end as well.
Yeah, I don't mind that. Mate, I don't mind. Look, that's fine because fans pay their money and that's a show. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I actually thought that was pretty cool.
I didn't like it.
Why?
Because they did it to take the piss, and I think that's just something that we do actually quite enjoy in the game. And it was a smart-ass element from the crowd that started it. And to be fair, the crowd didn't earn it. The players did. So it's not up the crowd to steal from the Raiders and take the mickey out of. That's how I saw it. I thought it was just it didn't show a lot of class.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, you know, the thing is you pay your fee, you can,
if you want to go and pay your ticket, you boo who you want or whatever. But by the same token, class is earned, isn't it?
Mm. Okay, well, Penrith anyway, 5 wins, no losses. Perhaps Parramatta join them tonight after they play the Dragons. We don't know yet, but certainly they are flying, as Hoop said. The Panthers on top of the ladder. The other games, of course, this round so far. Manly finally getting a win over the Warriors, 13-12, a late field goal to DCE. And by geez, he just snuck it in there with like 2 seconds to go.
Even when he hits a bad, he hits it well.
Yeah.
It was a wobbly old kick, wasn't it? But the main thing was it went over the black dot.
We've seen him do it before. We've seen him hit these ones, but they find their way. Some guys hit it as sweet as a nut, and it sails wide right.
Yeah.
Whereas Cherry Evans, no matter how he hits them, they tend to go straight.
The other thing is, too, with that with the Warriors, who, I mean, they promised so much for this year, and they've been good as far as effort's concerned. They lose Adam Fanua Blake for 4 months, which is a massive out. And at Central Coast Stadium, they've lost a couple of games in the last minutes, which is going to come back and bite them on the bum later in the year.
Yeah, it's impossible to understate the loss of Fanua Blake. Like, he'd been so big for them over the beginning of the season, and you could really see Friday evening that's going to be glaring. They moved who'd they move into the front row?
Geez, I called that game too. You've put me on the spot there.
That's why I thought I'd ask you, Anthony.
Torhu Harris. It was 48 hours ago.
Yeah. Mm. He's a good middle forward, but like Adam Fanua Blake, when he's playing on the front foot, is one of the best go forward front rowers in the game, and massive loss.
Well, they had plenty of opportunities to win the game too, the Warriors. Nevertheless, they didn't get the chockies in the end. The other game, South just way too good for the Broncos on Thursday night. South 35, Broncos 6. And, of course, in that game, Gordy, the great Adam Reynolds, the first man in the modern era to kick a 2-point field goal from the other side of the 40. And talk about field goals sailing over. It just flew straight over. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it went, I don't know, 5 to 10 metres over the dead ball line. He hit it so sweetly, I reckon he would have kicked it from the halfway. But, it was probably the perfect time, wasn't it? It was just before half time, and he hit it so beautifully. And Adam Reynolds, he's keeping a torch going, isn't he? He's just concentrating on his job. And, without Cody Walker, I thought that they were going to struggle. But Benji and Adam just, kept the juggernaut ticking over. And I just love the way Latrell's playing as well. But the Broncos, they're still learning. They don't forget they were the wooden spooners last year. Each week I think they're getting better. I know it sounds funny like they're losing, but, you can see that they're trying a little bit harder. So Kevy's got a tough job, but hopefully they get there.
Man of the Broncos squad that's been in the had the red pen under him is, of course, Anthony Milford. And where will he be beyond this year? Has anyone got any thoughts on that?
I reckon he'll be in England.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll be, it's virtually guaranteed he's not going to be at the Broncos.
No,
unless he all of a sudden has a form resurgence and they win 10 out of their next 12 games.
But I think well done for Kevy for calling it, because everybody's just tiptoed for years around Milford, afraid to upset him. He's fragile. Mate, you can't say that. This is a bloke picking up $1 million a year.
Mm.
There's not a job in the country where you earn $1 million and there's not some pressure involved.
Yeah.
That's the reality that I think gets lost sometimes with NRL players earning high wages and don't want to get criticised for the lack of performance. Is there's not a job anywhere where you're getting paid $1 million a year and there's not some pressure involved, whether you're operating on brains or building rockets or whatever. And if it's to play football, it's pretty much at the lighter end.
100% Hoops?
Agree wholeheartedly. Yeah, I thought of you when he said building rockets.
$20,000 a week, that is, by the way. $1 million a year.
We're taking them.
$20,000 a week. Okay, boys, well, we might take a break and come back with more. We've got Happy Hour coming up after 3 o'clock.
Just on the Happy Hour, because I don't want to spoil Happy Hour, because I know how much you enjoy it. But you spent all yesterday bagging Benji, who comes in and replaces me.
Yeah, we've got that.
Yesterday, right? Yeah. So, hang on, I've just noticed he's sitting outside too.
Yeah.
I hope you're not uncomfortable.
No, I'm not at all.
Because you did. You spent all yesterday bagging him.
Yeah.
And you came in today bagging him before we went on air.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is going to be interesting because generally 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock is your favourite time of day.
Yeah.
But you've now got a bloke coming in who's just been at the sharp end of your really nasty thoughts for 24 hours. How are you going to handle that?
Not only am I going to handle it, he's also made Maroon confidential for something he didn't do. Oh, secondly, right. I'd like to add, after I'm finishing punching on with Tom Tate, I'll punch on with Benji. Oh. How do you like that? How do you like that? So we'll take a break and we'll come back with more as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back. Of course, at 4 o'clock today, the Cowboys take on the West Tigers, and that game is live on Triple M. Dan Ganane is your caller today for that one at 4 o'clock at the traditional home of the Tigers, Leichhardt Oval. They'll be paying tribute to Tommy Radonikis in many ways this afternoon, so we salute all that. Boys, I know you've been waiting for this. We wanted to get it on before Happy Hour. It's time for this.
Psst. This is Maroon Confidential.
Yes, this is where we go out and about. And you might have built this up too much, boys. I have been out and about, and I do have a little bit of stuff for Maroon Confidential. Mm. Who's been spotted and who hasn't been spotted? Now, you mentioned the man, Benji Marshall. Mm. He hasn't been spotted. He's been unspotted.
Oh, really? I think that's a really unfair way to describe his performance the other night.
No. I mean, he's great to have him at the Rabbitohs. I know it's been a lifetime dream for him.
Well, where's he unspotted then?
Well, he's unspotted at, the other day, some of us had to come in here to have photos taken.
Right.
We were waiting for Benji and waiting and waiting and waiting.
Right.
No Benji. I said to him, well, what's the story with this bloke? Mm. He wants to be part of the Triple M crew. He does not respond to my text messages. That's the first thing. And secondly, he can't even drag his backside in here to get his photo taken.
Wow.
You know, for Triple M. I mean, is he committed to the cause?
Mm.
Is he committed
what,
to the
cause? Would he put his head where other people would?
You're not the
feet?
Boss.
Pardon?
Why does he have to pick up your number when you're not his boss?
Was I talking to you, knucklehead?
I'm tipping he's not the only one who hasn't returned calls or texts.
Listen, mate.
I never returned your call.
No, I know, but I just thought because there might have been a little bit of a, you know, as you know, I run a quite a...
A little bit of folding involved.
No, not folding.
Anyway. There you go. See, you've been shopping yourself around all these joints saying, listen, what if I bring Benji? How much more will you give me?
I'm trying to help.
I can remember talking to an ex-player. This is a bit like you remind me of this story. I won't name it because they won't embarrass him, but one of his great mates got him a public speaking gig. He said, mate, I got you $1,500 to do this talk. And he's like, mate, that's great, unreal. Anyway, so when the time came that they cancelled, they couldn't do it, the problems involved. So the bloke thought, I'll ring the bloke personally just to stay in the good graces with him, say, mate, I'm sorry I couldn't do it. And he said, mate, I get that, mate. I understand. He said, mate, honestly, mate, it was $4,000 for you.
<'Cause he's laughs> he clipped it.
He's made a clipped him 2.5.
Now, I'm just trying to help Benji.
I don't want to say they are, but they did play at the Tigers.
Right, okay. I think I might know who one of them is. I'm just trying to help Benji transition to life after rugby league, okay?
Get on the gravy train, Benj.
Yes.
Others.
I think he's transitioning okay. Right.
I don't care what you think, mate, because you're flat out running a bath.
Yep.
So don't worry about that.
All you need is a shovel and a strong box.
Yeah, that's it. some other ones. I spotted Victor Radley at the Gusto coffee shop in Bondi Beach the other day. He wanted to get a photo with me. I said, Victor, mate, I'm having coffee with some of my old schoolmates here. If you can come back later on.
Right.
I spotted Latrell Mitchell in the Star last night, Hoops.
Oh, really?
What were you doing at the Star?
I was doing a few things at the 24/7 Sports Bar.
Of course you were.
Where we all watch our rugby league, and there was the great Latrell.
I hope there's a lookalike, because I think under the bubble he's not allowed to be there, is he?
Well, there's...
Aren't they under category
they're free.
Two?
They're free now. Aren't they, Benji? Benji's... Yeah, see me and Benji, mates. So it's okay. Anyways, either it was him...
Latrell won't be playing this week.
Or it was a body double. Or I've just done the wrong thing by my own club. Have we got a dump button here? Can we dump this?
Please tell me there's something interesting in Maroon Confidential. Have you used it all?
Oh, no, I gave it all.
I've got a good one.
Okay, go. Throw it in. Yeah.
Maroon Confidential.
Can I just give you the last one?
Benji Marshall's got a new telephone number.
Right, is that right?
Yeah, brand new number. Have you got it?
No.
Oh, well, he sent it around earlier this week.
Thanks, Ben.
He has too.
Talk to you later.
He did. I got it.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter because I won't be bothering Mr. Marshall again.
That's probably why he didn't call you back.
I won't be bothering him. I've filed him in with a few others that we know. He won't be receiving any more calls from me. Finally, Wendell Saylor spotted at this new sensation that's taking over Wollongong and Sydney, the silent disco.
The silent disco. How's that working?
Well, you walk into this the Illawarra Hotel. You walk into the Illawarra Hotel. You put headphones on, and everyone else got headphones on, and you dance around in silence. Oh. So you're all listening to the same song.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be awful.
We approached.
Would be awful. Who came up with this idea?
Isn't that crazy? Isn't it?
Oh, mate.
And Wayne, what if you wanted to
Did
talk?
Did you have something to do with this, Anthony?
No, I didn't.
Disco?
But then,
Millie.
What I was going to say that he freely admitted that he was at this thing at the Illawarra Hotel, but what he didn't tell us, and after we mentioned it yesterday on air, a security guard from the Illawarra Hotel contacted us to tell us on three occasions Wendell had to be coaxed to put his T-shirt back on. So he got a little bit carried away with himself. Mm. But that's Maroon Confidential for today, Paul. Wow. This is where we let you go.
Thank God.
Then we'll catch you on NRL 360.
Yes, you will.
With my favourite guy in NRL 360, Ben Eichen. We'll take a break and we'll come back with Benji Marshall at Triple M.
Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.